Okay, we're in the middle of the discussing learning Torah. We're up to the top line. The top line is Kisha Adam Mevin. The first line on the page. Kisha Adam Mevin. When a person understands Sarachu Lohoyer Dvarav Shloi Balakash. He's talking about this principle in learning. This is always taught in the difference between the Beis Medrash and a library. If you go to the Brooklyn Public Library, quiet. Don't disturb. You go into a Beis Medrash, there's a loud, coiled Torah. It's a roaring sound. You know, in Lakewood, they love to take politicians to Lakewood, the BMG. They love to take them to show them the Beis Medrash. And they're always very startled. A guy who comes in, even a Jew who's never, you know, a non-religious Jew, not yet religious Jew. It's not what they expected. A study hall, it's not what they remember from college. I remember, you know, Brooklyn College, I don't know if it's still there, they used to have this reading room in the library. They read in the library. They put it in the library when I was there. The last year that I was there, I was teaching there, $42 million. They read in the libraries. It is stunning. Ultra, ultra high tech with classrooms. Unbelievable. $42 million. But before they read in the library for $42 million, the old library, many of you here went to Brooklyn College. They had this reading room. Remember that their reading room? It's a big. It's bigger than any Beis Medrash I remember. There was no one there. Who would want to go there, especially in the summer? It was boiling hot there. There was no air conditioning. It was very, very hot. But impressive. But one thing that... Quiet. When you go there, no noise. Going to a Beis Medrash, if it's quiet in the Beis Medrash, it's dead. There has to be a coil Torah. So where does this come from? It comes from... This comes from this principle that when it comes to learn, there is much to be gained when you speak out the subject matter. Somehow the effort of speaking out, learning, it deepens your understanding. Even if you're learning all alone, you're not discussing it with your chaver. It's not so easy always when you're learning to go speak it out. But there is definitely something to it. And that's what he focuses on over here with Tzarkash. Maybe when a person understands something, he has to lighten the words. Shaloi belachash, not with silence. Vilihiyois, you have to give your ears an opportunity to participate in the learning experience. Vilihiyois aznave enough pinuyim yikol davar. First of all, he says you have to remove distractions. You should not be listening to other things. And your eye should not be looking at other things. In order to open up your eyes, ala Torah b'shas halimud. So he doesn't say, he says, shloi belachash. Shloi belachash means don't learn silently. Obviously, he means you have to speak it out. When you speak it out, what are you necessarily doing? You're giving your ears an opportunity to participate in your learning. The ears are meant to hear words of Torah. Your mouth is speaking the words your ears are hearing. Haskeis u'shma Yisrael. Shma doesn't just mean understand, it also means to listen. When you hear yourself. It's a very powerful idea. So when you speak, the sound goes out, your ears are participating, it's a different type of learning.
Using all your senses, auditory.
All your senses, correct. You see what you're learning. You're speaking it out, your ears are hearing it, and your mind obviously is absorbing the information. And that requires, the most important thing is to remove all distractions. If you are in a makom where there are distractions, obviously it's not going to work. Your eyes should be wide open. What is the source for this? Hashem says to Yechezkel, I want you to see with your eyes. And listen with your ears, v'sim libucha, and apply yourself l'chol asher ani mara oischa. So when Hashem told Yechezkel, Hashem did not just tell him to listen, Hashem told him to see, and Hashem told him v'sim libucha. Why is Hashem coming to emphasize this? The answer is that Hashem is in essence telling him, remove all distractions. When I speak to you in learning, there's nothing else that exists in the world other than the learning. Isn't it? This Shabbos, I went after we davened Or Yitzchak. So there's someone over there who was hosting in this home a very big Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael. I don't know who he is. His name is Rabbi Berlin. Anyone ever hear of Rabbi Berlin? supposed to be a very, very Talmud Chacham. He's not a young man. And he told the boys there, I want you to come with me, come to my home. He's there. You should get a bracha from Rabbi Berlin. All right, so I didn't really want to go, but I was like basically I schlepped along. They schlepped me along, so I went there with a couple of the boys, and we go in, and he was there, and a very gentle, fine person, and he said over the Dvar Torah, and someone translated the Dvar Torah, and there were some boys there who are beginners, you know, boys that are not, you know, who are different types of boys, and from different types of backgrounds. So one of the boys there, he went, and he asked me if I can go with him to get a bracha. I should go personally with him to this rabbi to get a bracha. Said, okay, fine. So we go out, and I said to this tzaddik, whoever this person was, this boy, he wants a personal bracha from the Rosh Hashiva. So he said to me, what bracha? What does he want? So I asked the boy, what exactly are you looking for? A shidduch? Parnasa? So the boy, he says to me, I was very surprised because not the type of boy I would expect to hear this from. He says, I want from the Rebbe a bracha that I should have success in learning. I'm in yeshiva. He's an Ar Sameach. He learns in Ar Sameach in Eretz Yisrael. He's, a Baal Tshuva, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And I want a bracha that I should be successful in my learning. So I said this to the Rebbe Berlin. So he said in Hebrew, and I translated for him. He says, I'm giving him the bracha. Tell him like this. This is what he has to do. He has to take every single day, he's learning the whole day, but there has to be a time during the day, 1 hour, that's different than all of the other time that he learns during the day. And during that 1 hour, there can be nothing else in his life other than learning. No excuses for taking a telephone call, going to the bathroom, texting, you name it. This hour, you're dead. You don't exist. You are unreachable to the world. You are totally, totally devoted to your learning. The rest of the day you learn, okay, so you need a break, you want to go do this, you want to go do that, fine. But you have to set aside every day at this time of the day, 1 hour. There's nothing in the world than learning. There's no emergency that's important enough to disturb this 1 hour. And he told the boy, this is what you need to do. And if you do this every single day, you are guaranteed this will be, like, I guess, the shayrish, the root, will be the makar from your success learning will come. It's an interesting idea. To vote, it's exactly what it says here. The Sefer Hasidim. You have to give it your full attention. Remove distractions. So unfortunately, we think, that means every time you sit down in front of the Gemara, there are no distractions. That's impossible. Okay, that's impossible. You can't go live the whole day with no distractions. You have to be on call. Some people have a few cell phones, one cell phone. I have a few cell phones. All different people, I have to be able to be, you know, well connected. So you can't do that. But it's interesting. You don't have to do it the whole day. But it's kedai to set aside just a small period of time every single day where your phone is off. And even if the world is coming to an end, doesn't matter. I am unreachable. There's no one that can come and disturb me for this half an hour, for this hour, this 45 minutes. That's it. After half an hour, I turn the phone on in case my wife wants to call me, in case something important is going on I need to know about, v'chulu. But this half an hour, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what the emergency is. Let them call 911 if they have an emergency.
Right.
Doesn't matter. It's not. I can't help them anyway. This, I'm not reachable by anyone in the world. That's what it says here. You have to fully apply yourself. Who told this? Who taught this? Hashem. Hashem said this to Yechezkel ben Adam. Human being. Yechezkel. Re'eveinecha. Look. Uvaznecha shema. Listen. V'sim libecha. Apply yourself. L'chol ha'shani mara esrach. Everything I'm showing you. Why does he have to say the eyes, the ears? It means remove from your eyes and ears distractions. Don't listen to music. Don't look around. Don't see what's going on in the world. Focus on one thing and you will have success. V'haloi dvarim kal v'choymer. This is a kal v'choymer. Ma ha'binyan shahaya nimdan b'choymer amalei losum libo v'einav v'ozna. Now, let's go a step further. What was Hashem showing this? Hashem was showing him in this Nevua the Binyan Bayis Shalishi. He was describing the dimensions of the Bayis Shalishi. We learned this together here in the Shir, the whole Bayis Shalishi. So therefore, Maha Binyan Hashayim Nidah Bikonim Amalei Lasun Libol Ve'in of Azav Vazav. Over here, we're dealing with construction. You're dealing with architecture. Architecture, okay, you have to pay attention, but the degree of paying attention to a structure, to something that's physical, is not the same degree of attention you need when it comes to this understanding knowledge of Torah. Therefore, the Divrei Torah hatuluyin b'sa'ara, that is so delicate. It depends upon the thickness of the hair, low kol, how much more so does the person have to be fully with the program. Next, Netzach Lekvaya Itim Latar. Now we come to another principle. You have to set aside time to learn Torah. Bechol Yom Bechol Laila, every single day and every single night. Lekai Mashneva Vehigis Lebo, you shall occupy yourself in Torah Yom Bechol Laila. Echad Av Ma'ar Bev Yechad Amanit. It does not matter how much time you spend, a lot or a little. Uvelvad Sheyichad V'Neslibo LaShemayim. Toiv Ma'at B'Yiras Hashem. Now he has a new thing we never heard before. We have Toiv Ma'at B'Kavona. Mehar Bey Shloi B'Kavona. Right? Toiv ma'at bekavana. What do they say in Chaim Berlin? Toiv ma'at shaloi bekavana meharbe shaloi bekavana. So here, but the real words are toiv ma'at bekavana meharbe shaloi bekavana. Here, toiv ma'at biyiras Hashem. Better a small amount of true yira mehamoin rishoim. Halaimdim kol hayoim ve'enam mekayimim. Wow, that's real nasty, huh? It's better to learn a little bit the Yiras Hashem, with the true Yiras Hashem, than joining people who learn. He says halaimdim. They learn kol hayoim. Ooh, what is he talking about over here? This would be banned so fast. You can put the Sefer Nechayim 100 times over. Every other line he says such things are not politically correct. He says, see, look, he says, better than learning, haloim dim kol hayoim, mehamoin rishoim, haloim dim kol hayoim, ve'ena mekhaim. He says that there's such a thing in this world as a multitude of wicked people who spend the entire day sitting and learning. Excuse me? who are you referring to? This is not politically correct. People have been banned and insulted for a lot less than this. Saying things a lot less than this. Okay? He says there's such a thing of hamoin, multitudes of people in this world that are wicked, and what are they doing? Halimdim. They're learning. What are we discussing? Learning Torah. Kol hayam, the entire day. But they're not fulfilling what it says in the Torah. They're not observant. They're not being the kayam the mitzvahs. The Einam Mekayimim, stay away from those people. Better just learn 5 minutes a day and fulfill, be true to what you learn. Don't steal, don't speak Lashon Hara, don't lie. The basics, the Aseres Hadibros, right? The Aseres Hadibros, just do that for 5 minutes a day. That's better than learning all the intricacies, all the Prima Gadims, Mikiva Egers. And it was all theoretical. How do you support it? How I suppose how I couldn't say some shenanigans.
Go to a lot of base management to see the boys are on the telephone. Really?
Right.
I did for years. I stopped off on the way home from work and I sat in base management for an hour and a half. And I went from yeshiva to yeshiva till I found one where I felt the boys were learning. Otherwise, it was very distracting
right.
Because I heard them talking, and they were talking, not learning.
Of course.
They were on the phone, they were here, they were there.
Of course.
In yeshiva, the boys were learning.
That's
in those days. Yeah, they were.
Right.
Everyone was on the phone.
Ooh. We didn't want to hear that.
No names, please.
Okay, this is what he says. This is not politically correct. But listen, Sefer Chasidim is going strong. It's going strong. Amazing. Shoresh, okay, let's go further. Shoresh, Hat, Tfil, Tfil. Now he's going back to Tfil, Simchas, Lev. We're going back to Tfil. We didn't learn about Tfil. So we didn't learn. Yid Zayin is all about the Torah. What was Tezayin? Tezayin was about Histakus. Okay, right. Okay, that was Tehila, and now Yishnu Arbaisai, now he's going to get into Halach. I really wanted to learn this, because I want to learn Halach. So we have to learn Halach every day. And now, indeed, is where he's going to go into the laws, into the Musar. It's coming to an end. Halacha is going to begin. Yeah.
When he finishes giving this, I only realized it when I came to speak to Rabbi David Feinstein one time, and they said he's incommunicado. When he finishes shiur every day, he goes into the office outside the Beis Medrash, and the world could collapse. You can't distract him. He's for 1 hour in the room. There's no phone calls, no nothing. He will not talk to anybody. He writes his machshavis, and that's what he does. He scribbles anything he thought of during shiur, whatever it is, and then he takes a half hour, power nap. That's the Seder Ayom. This was a long time ago. They told me, he said, you can't talk to him for anything. There's no distractions, ever.
They said about the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim is why he had a store. He made Parnassus, his wife ran the store, and every so often there was an emergency. And his wife sent for him. So he told his wife, there are 3 hours in the morning. I'm not in the store. I'm not working then. I'm learning. During those 3 hours, it's as if I'm dead. He said to his wife, if I was dead, would you come to the grave and knock on the grave and say, Shomea, come to the store, we have a problem. We have a creditor. Come to the store. If I was at the grave, you're not coming to the cemetery to knock on the grave to bring me to the store for the emergency, no matter what the emergency is. During these 3 hours, I'm dead. Don't even think of bothering me. Later, I'll come to the store and see what's doing. But during those three hours, it's a very powerful principle. Okay, let's go further. Shorei Shatila, Yudches, Halacha Yudches on page Ayin Beis. Shorei Shatila, Shtim Chasalei, Bakalish Baruch. A person requires Simcha. In order to succeed in davening, he's telling us a very powerful principle. Today there's a plethora of Sfarim trying to help us gain success, satisfaction in daven. Davening is one of the hardest things to do. It's the hardest thing to daven properly. And everyone is looking for a trick, a gimmick, a trick, some technique to succeed in davening. So he says, well, one of the things you really need is simcha. And you're going to walk into the Beis HaKnesses depressed, you're going to walk in sad, you're going to bring all your problems into shul, it's not going to work.
You're worried.
Yeah. You need, his first thing he says is, you need to come into the Beis HaKnesses with simcha. Simcha is the key ingredient to put yourself in the frame of mind to daven with a full heart.
Artificial simcha or natural simcha?
Sorry?
If someone has another problem, he cannot...
It's hard, yeah. I don't know what to answer you, but this is what he says. Shoresh ha-tfilah simchas leiv bi-HaKadosh Baruch Hu shnemar his hallelu b'shem kodsho. It's a pasuk. See, it's no the advantage of doing Tanakh on your fingertips. If you know Tanakh on your fingertips, anything you need, it's a pasuk, everything's a pasuk. His hallelu b'shem kodsho, his hallelu means praise Hashem's name, and then what does it say? Yismach leiv. Well, I take it back. Yismach le nevak she Hashem. Brilliant. If you want to be from the nevak she Hashem, to seek, to make a request of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I need this, yismach leiv. The Pasuk says you first must be in a state of simcha to succeed in the quest of being nevak she Hashem.
His future, not
his... No, he's telling you pshat in the Pasuk. A person comes to be a Mevakesh Hashem. Mevakesh Hashem. No. But he's telling you a different idea. He's telling you that if you want to daven a Shmona Esrei, the essence of davening Shmona Esrei is to be a Mevakesh Hashem. It needs to be preceded with Simcha, Yismach Leiv, then Mevakshei Hashem. Ulaficha, Chay David Melech Yisrael Menagin Mekina. That's why David would play the harp. David would play the harp at midnight. Al kol tefilo isav uzimi isav. David would accompany his tefillah with musical instruments. Kedei lemalos levavo simcha v'avos. In order to fill up his heart with simcha v'avos, Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu, an amazing idea. He's giving you a card that you'll have music when you daven. Who was the one who did this in modern times? The Reform. No. Karbach. That's a very big problem with Karbach. The Karbach things. I always complain about that. But the one that did this was Reform. Reform. They brought the organ into the Beis HaKnesses. Is it also to play an organ on Shabbos? Not necessarily. It's hard to really find why you should be mamish forbidden. You'll say it's tinkly shir, but they are the ones who instituted the musical accompaniment to the tefillah. it's a copy of what they do in church. That's what they do in the church. Obviously, it's very effective. If in the church there's music, this music accompanies the prayer in church, so the Reform felt it would be very good to stimulate the people who come and daven. So that became the hallmark of a Reform service. But the truth is, it's rooted very well in David. It's not such a terrible thing. David HaMelech, it says here beferish, when he David, all of his tefillos were accompanied by musical instruments. Obviously, today it's come out usher to do. Why? I don't have all the details why, but after Reform took this as being their hallmark, anyone that would dare do this is basically copying the Reform, and it's a terrible thing. That's why it's very problematic. The Kalbach, Slichos, and their Tfilos, they always have the singer with the guitar. That's not so simple.
But that's after Shabbos.
What?
That's after Shabbos.
Okay, so what? So what?
Well, but got
we don't. Orthodox Jewry, for the last 1,000 years, mm-hmm. has never had a choir. A choir was always done. Choir was done. Right. The music was never done. You don't have any record on file where an Orthodox shul there was a musical instruments accompanying the tefillah.
I didn't realize that you were talking about 7 days a week. I thought you were only talking about Shabbos.
Well, they only daven once a week. Huh? For the Reform, it's only Nogea once a week. They only daven on Shabbos.
But I didn't realize, or I never thought about it, that you're saying that our chakras during the week tefillos are not allowed to be accompanied with.
I don't know. Not allowed. That's the. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to deal with it. It's very interesting. Slichos is mitzvah Shabbos. The last 10 years, it's become a craze. The Kalbach Slichos.
Right, I went once.
Every year.
Yossi Green
does it, and even though it got bigger, but online, people who watch it, there's a whole cloud of shows watching it online. Everyone is watching it online. And it's very nice, it's very inspiring, it's very interesting, something very different from what you're accustomed to when you go in yeshiva.
Right.
Whole different world, of the whole different approach to davening. Never, but what is a breach in tradition is clearly music. It's clearly you have three guys up there with guitars playing music. There's no record. Okay, so that's the question. Obviously they do it. You don't hear anyone screaming at them, except for me, that there's no record in the last 1,000 years that when you daven, you're permitted to accompany the prayer with musical instruments.
Let's look at it the other way. He just told us that.
David, so here is very fast. David HaMelech did it. David wasn't criticized.
No, the Gemara talks about David for the thing that he said that the Torah is like music.
That's good. That's because he doesn't he said in expression. But it says here explicitly, here in the Sefer Hasidim, that David, Melech Yisrael, Minagen, Bichinor, Al Kol Tefiloisav, Uzemiroisav, which simply means together, not before, not a warm up. As he davened, they played musical instruments. Kidei, Lemalois, Levavois, Simcha, Be'ahavos, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds like something very nice and very proper to do. So, why for the last 1,000 years has it not been done in the Beis HaKnesses? Forget about Shabbos. Shabbos is the problem playing music on Shabbos. Because you may come to the Issur Derabbanan to play a musical instrument on Shabbos, because you may come to fix, it may get damaged. But why can't we have Goyim? Why can't we bring Goyim into the shul and they will play the musical instruments for us? Why not? Why not? By weddings they did this. By weddings.
We don't need them there.
What?
Well,
why not?
We'll have
the electronic music. What? During the week, okay. So during the week, this why don't we have? So I think the reason why is because this is what was done in the church for the last 1,000 years.
So maybe they took it from us.
They took it from us. Well, I don't know if we were so big on doing it to begin with, but they obviously took this as to be one of the things that they do. It was a big thing that their prayer was accompanied by the organ.
I don't know that.
And I guess, I'm guessing is that if we're now going to do this during the weekday when there's no prohibition to do so, and on Shabbos when you probably can be matir al yidei a non-Jew, if it would really make a difference in your tefillah, I guess the reason why we do not, I'm just guessing, thinking out loud, is because it would be chukos ha'amen.
In Budapest, in the big school,
Budapest.
That was the compromise. The organ was there, was played by not a Jew.
By an angel. By an angel. In where? It wasn't a reform shul. It was...
That's a Neolog.
In the middle.
Neolog is like conservative.
In the middle. It's borders on breaking out.
Was in Hebrew, but
it was never done. It was never done. It was only done. This is something that is done in the church. Now, to add to that, Gesundheit, reform came along and they started doing this. Obviously, it's two strikes against the Orthodox. They're not going to do this because the Goyim do this. And also because, this is what the Reform does, it became a real sticking point. They're not going to do this. So now, when we see today, I'm not complaining about the Kalbach and Minyam, they're beautiful. I'm just thinking, Ma'orer, they got three guys there in the front, playing the guitar. It's very nice. So why don't we have the guitar? So playing the guitar for us. How come they do it and we don't do it? Did Kalbach, I once asked someone, did Kalbach himself do this? Or someone claims, yes, he himself did it. Are you sure?
Yeah,
look at the video. It's on YouTube.
Nishmas.
Nishmas is not a rai. What, Hashanah Rabbah?
Yeah.
On Hashanah Rabbah, we don't say Hashanah Rabbah. We don't say on Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah. We don't say Hashanah Rabbah on Nishmas. We skip it. So when did they do with Nishmas? It was a concert performance. Concert performance, gesunde, hey, do whatever you want. Who cares? We're talking about davening. Did Kalbach himself, I don't know, it's probably, you go to the videos. Look at the videos online on YouTube, you probably can show the old videos of his slichos, and he davened Hallel, he davened on Sukkis, Hallel, beautiful, beautiful davening. I remember watching some of these things. I don't recall that he was holding a guitar when he davened. I don't recall. So when he did a concert, yeah, that was Kalbach. He had a guitar. He does a concert. He used a guitar. But did he use a guitar regularly when he davened for the Amud Halal on Yom on Chol Hamoed, the Shchodesh Slichas? What about Slichas? I don't recall.
I pointed out for thousands of years.
Not thousands of years.
Whatever. We don't know. We don't have a record.
Right. Correct.
Except for David Hamel.
Right.
I would imagine in Gola's time we were ushered afraid. We didn't want to bring attention to ourselves. We're going to shul. We're having concerts.
They built these magnificent shuls. They weren't too afraid. They were different to kufis. They were to kufis of peace, relative peace. They built beautiful shuls, big minyanim. They do whatever they want. No one bothered them. We don't hear about such a thing. Music. We hear about choirs. That we do hear about. Mm-hmm. Choirs. We hear all about. No question about it. But music. Look at this beautiful Sefer HaChassid. Doesn't you know, if you would not for the Sefer HaChassid, you would say, don't bring me a riot from the Pasek. David played music, he went to a concert, and then he went to the Beis Medrash. Hay luchud v'hay luchud. He went to the concert inspiration, but he didn't bring the concert into the shul. That's not what he says here. He says here pretty clear is that the music accompanied the actual tefillah. You can't go manipulate what it says Sefer HaChassidim. So why don't we do it? It has to be because the Goyim did this. This was the hallmark of the church. And then, strike two, the Reform started doing this. So we're not going to be doing this. Is there another issue that I'm unaware of? I don't know. Shabbos certainly is a problem because you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos because you may break and you may come to fix it, and fixing can be a melacha deraisa. But there are exceptions. What are the exceptions? If someone gets married on Friday evening, Friday afternoon, then you're allowed to have Simchas Chasim Chala. It was done without a question. Goyim played music Friday night. He had a nice Jewish yeshivish wedding, Shabbos Friday night, and they were Goyim, the musicians were Goyim. Yes, it is a fact. Absolutely, it was a fact. They did it more recently. They did it recently. Goyim played music Friday night.
maybe.
So maybe if they did have a chas and kala, so why should it be forbidden to do it for davening? Have goyim come play music davening? Look, I know that in the Spanish Portuguese, so secret, in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, they have a choir. They don't play music. They have a choir.
A woman.
From a guy. Why not? What can I have from a guy?
You're not allowed to have enough from a guy. For you getting
a Jew, a Jew being Machal Shabbos, a Goy being Machal Shabbos. I mean a Goy being Machal Shabbos, so it's not a real Chal Shabbos. Playing a musical instrument is not a real Chal Shabbos because you're not doing anything wrong. There's a concern that it may break, and then you'll come to be Machal Shabbos by fixing it. That's for a Jew. So a Jew is not allowed to play a musical instrument, but that's only said midrabanan. But letzarch mitzvah, chazal v'matir, for the mitzvah of simchas chasen v'kala, they were lenient, and they allowed a non-Jew to play the musical. It's not a blocha deraisa. It's only midrabanan, they were makel. So the question is, when it comes to davening, we don't do this. Look, in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, there's a choir. It's no secret that some of the members of the choir are not Jewish. They're not Jewish. Okay, so that's the choir. Okay, so even today, goyim are participating in our service. So what would be so terrible for the goyim to play the musical instruments for us to enhance the davening? Okay, we don't do it. It's unheard of such a thing. But it really shakes me up. They're doing here by these Kalbach events, this music. And it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Maybe they did ask the Shiloh, maybe they didn't ask the Shiloh, maybe, I don't know, I have no idea what it's all about. But
in the time of Atomic Dosh,
you can't say, that's not davening. That's not davening. When they brought the Levim sang Shir, they brought the Kurbanos. Then the Levim sang Shira, and as they sang Shira, they played musical instruments. It was not during Tefillah. It was not done at the moment when they slaughtered the carbon, when they did the Zerika. It was done after. It's not part of the Tefillah, the Avoda. It's separate. That's Shira. The Levim sang Shira as an independent service. Let's go further. So just kedai to take note that there is music during tefillah. It was done by none other than David HaMelech. Today, it's not done. Why? Question. It's not done. Whatever it is, it's not done. But it's not something which technically can be done because David did it. Next, let's go further. Let's go further. When a person davens, Adam tzach shechavet libo lefnei mihu oimed. Okay, he makes mention of this point. This is maybe one of the sources why it's proper to put in front of the Amud, the Pasuk, Da, Lefnei, Mi, Ata, Oimed. Okay, there are two very popular Pasuk, and they put in front of the Bimut. Either it's Shivisi Hashem, Lenegdi Tamid, or Da, Lefnei, Mi, Ata, Oimed. We had a whole discussion on this. They're very different Pasukim. One pasuk gives we mentioned one pasuk gives focus to the person, and one pasuk is giving focus on Shivisi Hashem.
Negative.
I remember we had a whole Dvar Torah on this. The difference between these two pasukim. These are two very popular pasukim, and he seems to favor the pasuk Sheichave Libo Lefnei Mi Hu Oimed.
So you can.
Then we take a pasuk. He says the idea. He doesn't say the pasuk. He doesn't tell you where to put the words there. But he says the expression, when you daven, tsarich sheyichavein libo lefnei mi hu oimed. It's certain that's obviously a source why you have in front of the omud, da no lefnei mi ata omed. Okay, there's another pasuk that some people put, shivisi Hashem lenegdi tomid. It's a different type of pasuk. I remember we once had a discussion explaining the difference between these two psukim. There's a difference.
One sounds like Yira, one sounds like Ava.
Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. It's Ava, yeah, and Dalif ne mihu oimed, ato oimed is more Yira, maybe. Yeah. Okay, maybe, interesting idea.
Yeah,
okay, that pasuk is besides what we put on the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, Aron HaKodesh, that becomes a whole new issue of what pasuk to put on the Aron HaKodesh. Everyone has a different hergish of what they want to put on the Aron HaKodesh. Next, Chamisha Devarim Ma'akvim Es Hatzila. Av Apu Shegia Zmana. There are five things. Now we're going into Halacha. We finally got to Halacha. Okay, Mamish, we've reached the point here of real heavy-duty Halacha. Now, his Halacha is not the Halacha of Shulchan. Shulchan was written 500 years later. Okay, so this is like really one of the very early references to a codified halacha. Because everything else was just like even the Meirami Randberg. The Meirami Randberg, he had a collection of tshuvas, but it wasn't codified. I don't think it was codified as mamish, a sefer of halacha.
Original Mishnah is not considered codified.
What?
Original Mishnah is not
No, the Mishnah is not halacha.
No, I know it's not halacha for us, but when they did it,
wasn't it?
No, it was not for them. Even though it was a matter of the collection of Jewish thought. It was not clear, not the bottom line, because every Mishnah has a machlekes. Beshamir this, beshalosis. Who's the halacha? So some Mishnahs they say halacha. Very rare, it says the halacha follows this, but the Mishnahs definitely is not halacha. The Mishnahs is a collection of concepts of Jewish thought, Jewish concepts. And then you have to go
find it.
There's a tradition of what is halacha. The Sefer Chassidim is one of the earliest codified books of halacha. 500 years before Shulchan Aruch. Okay, yeah, before that, yeah, the Torah. Yeah, the Rambam is also, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say the Rambam came first. Sefer HaMitzvah, is the Rambam called halacha? No, it's not. It's not based. Okay, Rambam was before, but the Rambam is a little bit different. A different approach. It's a different approach, the Rambam. This is more practical. It's a more like, you know, an art scroll primer. What you need to know to get by. It's a different type of halachic work. The Rambam's Yad HaChazaka is not for the faint of heart. Okay, it's not for the average man. I don't think so. I don't think the average man just stand. Okay, today, you know, I'm off from work. I'll go to the whole Yad HaChazaka. Okay, I'll know Kalter or Kula. It doesn't work like that. Okay, Sefer Hasidim, it's not so bad. It's not going to do it in one day, but it's manageable. It's like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch almost. It's you know, but he doesn't say what it says in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He says things that are very radical, very different, things that we're not used to hearing, and things that are certainly not politically correct. Okay, it's a different world, a different era, a different time in Jewish history where halacha was different than halacha today. Not that halacha changes, but there is some wiggle room in halacha to follow different minhagim. Let's see. So here he goes to five rules of what will prevent you from davening shachars. You must do five things before you can daven. Number one is chamish dvar makmes hatfila. Apa pishtu gi zman. The zman is here. It's man, higia zman, kriya shma shel shachars. Okay, daven. No, not so fast. You have a list. Eluhein, toharas yadayim. Excuse me, sir, did you wash your hands this morning? Did you do netilas yadayim? If you did not do netilas yadayim, don't even think of saying Hashem's name. Okay, you have to wash netilas yadayim. V'chisiho erva, are you properly dressed? If you're not dressed properly, you can't daven. V'toharas makam hatfilo. Is the environment clean? Are there dirty diapers lying around within Dalet Amos? Number four, udvarim hachovzim oisau. Are the things that are going to disturb you? Okay, that's not what you're only going to... What? Distractions. Okay, the word chovzim means... It's a hard word to translate. I think it really means more like to scare you, right? But here in this context, I think it means distractions.
Right.
Distractions. And number five, look at this, v'chavana saleh. Now this is very important, I appreciate this. Are you in a frame of mind where you're going to have kavana? See, we don't hear this today, because today, certainly the last two are not nogeya to us. No matter what we're going to do, or no matter what we're going to do, you're never going to achieve number four and number five. Kavana, listen, it's as good as it gets, okay? Which basically is zero. And number four, distractions. What, I should go put my smartphone outside in a cubby and lock it up? What, are you kidding? Sorry, the smartphone will remain on the table. I'm not taking my smartphone, okay? So number four and number five today, unfortunately, doesn't exist. But when he wrote Sefer HaChasidim, it was no nonsense. And you can't even daven unless there are no distractions in the room. If he was here at Rebbe Chassid, he would not let you start davening until everyone remove the smart from the facility. Because that's one of his conditions. You cannot daven if there is a potential distraction. Just because the phone is on vibrate or it's on off, come on, you're thinking about it, it's there, it's going to distract you. Out. That's what he says. And number five, tell me, are you in a good mood today? Is something bothering you? If something is bothering you, you potter from davening. You don't have to daven today. Go home. You don't have to daven today. You're exempt from davening. Kavana saleh. Now, there's something very controversial I'm going to tell you, and this was put in print recently, and people are very, very upset at this person who put this in print. There was a person who was a shamish of the Chazon Ish. I can say it's public knowledge now. Put it in print. a shamus. He was actually the person who put this in was the son of the shamus. His name was Grunfeld, if I'm not mistaken. He was a nephew. I think he was a nephew of the Chazon Ish. When the Chazon Ish came to Eretz Yisrael, when he moved to Bnei Brak, from the moment he moved to Bnei Brak, this fellow, he attached himself to the Chazon Ish. It's a very smart fellow. And the Chazon Ish took a liking to him. And he became his unofficial secretary, right-hand man, for the next number of years until Rav Chazon Ish was nifter. And he knew all the secrets. All the secrets, he knew where all the skeletons were. He knew everything. He took care of the Chazon Ish. He was his personal secretary, unofficially. And this person was nifter many years ago, but his son has all the goods. So his son recently put out a little sefer about all the secrets of the Chazon Ish. And some of them are not very pleasant, are not very nice. It's a very surprising, I am shocked. Most of the sefer is very nice, beautiful things. Some things everyone knows, famous things. There's some things that are utterly shocking. Lashon Hara. There's a lot of Lashon Hara. There's a lot of Lashon Hara in the book. And what's shocking is that the Chazon Ish, that the Rav Chaim Kanievsky gave a Haskama. He gave a Haskama that it's a beautiful sefer. I read the whole thing. He writes there. Everything is true. And the Olam should know about everything. People are beginning to question, did he really write that Haskama? Because it says there's some very disturbing things. Okay. Fine. One of the disturbing things, it's not 10 plus disturbing, it's more like, you know, a low level, is he writes that the Chazon Ish did not daven Ma'ariv every so often. He didn't have Ma'ariv. Just didn't have Ma'ariv. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. He was learning.
He once told... No, he wasn't learning. He told someone... He actually told someone... One of the stories, I told you the story, that the boy and girl, they were about to be engaged. They were already holding by the Tanoim. And the girl found out that the boy lied about not davening Mincha. And he told the parents, break up the Shidduch. A boy lies that he didn't daven Mincha, break up the Shidduch. But that was Mincha. But the Chazon Ish, he writes, he did not. So the people went to him and they were talking, and then the Chazon Ish, they asked him, did you have Ma'ariv? He says, no, I didn't have Ma'ariv. So he says, so you're not going to have Ma'ariv? He says, I don't have Koyach. I don't have Koyach to have Ma'ariv. What do you mean you don't have Koyach? You're talking to me. We're having a conversation over here. You have enough energy to talk to me. So just say the words, like everyone else says the words. Right? So he says, that's not how I have Ma'ariv. That's not what I daven. When I daven Ma'ariv, every word is accounted for. There's no nonsense. You say a bracha with Hashem's name, every single letter and word, this kavana, I know what I'm saying. I'm telling you, I don't have the koyach daven Ma'ariv. I am thoroughly exhausted. Thoroughly exhausted. That's what he said. Now, today, can anyone say that about themselves today? No. Today, you can do whatever you want. You'll never come to a Madrega today where you'll be able to say every single word with Kavana, Perish Hamila. It's impossible. So we have no choice. So we gave up. We're thin. We're toast. Right? So for us, it's not Nogea. But for the Chazon Ish, there was a difference. He davened every single... He had a different type of mind. It's a Shvach. But I know a big rabbi that are fuming mad that the Yeshiva Bacham are reading this. Because it lightens in their eyes Tzfilas Ma'ariv. A big Rav told me Chazdish was able to do that for only by Ma'ariv, because Ma'ariv is making a Rishus. It's not a Chiyif Daven Ma'ariv. And the Chazanish was the Chazanish. And there's no one today that can do this, can say such a thing about them. No one today can say such a thing. And people also don't understand it was Ma'ariv. It wasn't Shachos Mincha. And these average yeshiva brachim that are reading this book and gobbling up all the lashon hara in the book, they come across this also, and they see, so if they're not in the mood, they also won't daven mincha, they also won't daven ma'ariv, I'm tired. They're not going to do it outright, but it's going to linger in their mind. And when you're weak, it's going to affect you. So basically, this information was never revealed to the public for the list. He died, 60, 70 years ago? How long did he die? 60 years ago? 50 years ago?
I think 1950.
1950? So almost 65 years. This information was not revealed for public knowledge for 55 years, 65 years. Why now? Why does the oil have to know about this? This is not for public knowledge. It's taka true. It's a very bad lesson for young people who don't know, who are very weak to begin with, to know, and they'll right away extrapolate the wrong thing. There's something called kavanas halev. 800 years ago, it was a different caliber of people.
Well, the Avraham Avinu says that's pshat. By Yisheu Hashem, by Yivakesh Hamisoa, I mentioned to you a while ago that that's what God was trying to teach Moshe Rabbeinu. Who told you to take your wife and children? You have to be Ruchem Makabel Nivua. And
no distractions. No distractions.
So what do you mean God just bumped into him? He says, you have to be in that mindset that I'm going to talk to you any moment. So by vacation, by Gesheyu Hashem.
You're not doing your mission.
And it almost killed him.
So we have over here five rules for davening. You put oinis rachman apatre. If you can't daven, you can't daven. You put it. You can't put. What are the five conditions? Netilas yodayim. You have to be properly dressed. The environment has to be clean. There's no odor. There's no odor or anything. The children that are running around not dressed are in the vicinity. And then, same rule. No distractions. If there are distractions, don't daven. It'll be bracha levatola. I'm going to daven and my phone's going to ring. It's going to vibrate and I'm going to be thinking, oh, who's calling? I'm not going to touch it, but I'm going to be thinking it's a distraction. Don't you putter. If you can't get rid of the distraction, you putter. And even if you take away the distractions, how are you feeling today? Is something bothering you? Is there something bothering you today that's going to prevent you from davening the Kavana Salev? If there is, you potter from davening. This is what it says, the Sefer HaChassidim. So you don't want to ban the Sefer? Okay, another reason? It's a different perspective. It's a different standard in Halacha, which obviously, we're not holding by, and there are distractions. We don't have kavana. So what? Daven anyway. It's okay. It's okay.
It took 3-4 hours. That's when they daven so late. They want to get into the mindfulness.
Chassidim harishonim. They took them an hour just to enter the frame of mind. Okay, we're going to stop here. Take a very short break. Then we want to talk about the parasha a little bit. Some more halachic yanim.
Anything controversial?